Sri Lanka beat Australia by 4 runs overnight, so they've sealed the one-day international series 3-1. And Dave Warner, 99. And we've been reminiscing about Hawke Pup's 99s this morning, courtesy of our listeners.
I didn't think I'd scored one. I've just found out I've scored two. One for West.
Had a couple.
Yeah, one for the Aussies. I don't see the fuss about 99.
Oh, though. Mate, you'd take 99 over zero any day of the week, or single figures, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
John from Wingen has texted, morning all, is it time to refresh the Australian limited overs batting lineup? It's become much more of an adventurous young man's game. There is a familiarity about our top order that quality opponents have sussed out, says John from Wingen.
I reckon in this game, there's a few new faces. Smith's out injured with the quad strain, so Mitchell Marsh was batting higher than he normally does. Labuschagne hasn't played many one-dayers. He's in there in the middle order. Travis Head's in good form. Glenn Maxwell, I think, is, you know, as good as any short-form player. So I don't think it's the players. I just think we haven't performed. I think if you look at those, you know, that 11 that takes the field, they should be beating the Sri Lankan team. You know, Davey Warner didn't have a great series, but come good in this game, 99. Finchie's played pretty well. Again, his record's phenomenal, really, in one-day cricket. Average is over 40. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I think the squad is still very strong. Again, we've struggled against spin through the middle, which has been the case for a long time. So you'd like to think that having players that have played in the subcontinent and in conditions like this are going to give you more chance of success than picking youngsters that are, you know, smacking it in Australia in very, very different conditions.
Now, on the text line, by the way, have you missed Davo's tips? Canterbury Race 7, number 1, narrated, $1.85, his best. And he also likes Race 3, number 10, Wolves, $3.80 with tab. And a tip here for you, Loz, on the text line. Morning, boys. A little tip for the big schnoz. Sorry, Loz. Canterbury Race 6, number
3. Is that you saying sorry?
No, that was text. Oh, I'm not saying sorry for anything. Canterbury Race 6, number 13. And that is Maroonia for Team Hawks and Willie Pike. Soft gate, gate 2,
$2.80.
No name to that one.
All right.
And do you want to read the top joke on the text line there as well? Maybe it's on my screen, not yours.
Why does a banana wear sunscreen?
Yes.
Because they peel. No, it's not too bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought that was...
No. I've heard better. Okay. I've heard better. But thanks for sending that in anyway.
No name to that one. Now, joining us now we've got, obviously, rep round starts tonight. Really, Lebanon are playing Malta at Belmore. And we've got to, the PNG up against Fiji, Samoa, the Cook Islands, New Zealand and Tonga. New Zealand and Tonga naming their final 17s today. But also, tomorrow night at Leichhardt, it's the New South Wales v Queensland under-19s fixture at Leichhardt, 7:45 tomorrow night. And joining us now, a man who played 12 Origins for New South Wales, won a premiership, of course, with Canterbury, was captain on grand final day back in 2004, played for Parramatta in his early days. Andrew Ryan joining us. Bobcat, good morning to you.
Morning, how are we?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. Great to have you on the show. And you know, you've been coaching for around the past decade or so. So what's unique about coaching this New South Wales under-19 side?
Oh, look, I was super excited to get on board and coach in with this team again. But I guess the unique part is just the short time frame. You know, we don't know each other. We sort of came in on Saturday morning and only a few days to get together, which is a little bit rare, but I tell you, it feels like we've been in camp for a while. They're a good bunch. Fortunate to have a great coaching staff as well, and it's been a really enjoyable few days, actually.
Bobcat, a lot of these players will go on and play first grade and have long, distinguished careers and go on and play State of Origin level. For our listeners, who are some of the players they should be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, there's quite a few, Loz, and, you know, I guess from the last few years, we've been able to see in these pathways teams, guys like Stephen Crichton, these young fellas, Matt Burton, who's making his debut this week, you know, come through exactly like you said. They played in these sort of 19s and 20s teams a few years ago. Young Paul Alamotti, he plays in the centres. He's a great player. There's a lot of talent. Young Trey Mooney, he's in our team. He's our captain as well. He's a lock. He's already played one NRL game. Yeah, but there's quite a few young Tyler Moriarty's playing in the 90s from the Roosters as well. So, but yeah, just watching these guys, how they approach it, you know, for their age, it's crazy to think they're still so young, really, and just the professionalism and yeah, it's the game is obviously continued to grow and change, and they they're professionals now, even at this young age.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Andrew, how important is it from, you know, this sort of age to learn how to deal with pressure on such a big stage? Again, you know, Loz just mentioned so many players go on to play in the NRL or play Origin at the highest level, but surely this is a great stepping stone and a real introduction into welcome to, you know, what pressure actually is.
Yeah, it is, mate. And, you know, I guess sometimes... you know, for the guys, that you can overcomplicate some things.
Yeah.
You know, you want them to make sure that they're still approaching their footy, having a good time. And that's what we've been trying to get the balance of it this week, you know, where when it's time to switch on and go and do the job they do. But we also want to make sure that it's fun and you get to enjoy each other's company and stuff as well. And hopefully that sort of sets them up to then be comfortable and confident heading into the performance on Thursday night, because, you know, that's what we want them to be feeling. We don't want them feeling stressed or nervous or anxious or anything. So hopefully they're rolling and feeling good and confident in their own ability.
How do you beat Queensland, mate? What are some of their strengths?
Yeah, they've got some quality players. Their number nine is a really good player as well. But, you know, we often talk about in Origins, it's all the little things in the game, you know. It's all the... You're in the arm wrestle, you're in the ding-dong and in that tough battle. So for us to get the win, I feel like we need to get on board with our push support and be willing to go the distance in that arm wrestle. It's because we don't have much time to sort of build combinations and stuff, you got to rely on all those little effort areas for each other. So hopefully that's what our boys are prepared to do for longer than Queensland on Thursday night.
Just on their number nine, Loz, Blake Moser, who has been given the inevitable comparisons to Cameron Smith.
Mm.
They say he is the next big thing in Queensland. Yeah. Well, and he's just signed a long-term deal with the Broncos as well. Have you heard much about him?
I haven't heard much about him. I've heard that he's recently re-signed. But, Bob Cat, you'd know a bit more about him. You would have done a bit of video work on him. Is he a Cameron Smith style player?
He looks like he's got the kicking game, but he I'm not saying that Cameron didn't have the speed, but he certainly got some. He's pretty sharp out of nine as well. So you know, and in these type of games, well, you know, obviously better than anyone at that level. You know, defensively we have to be good, and he just watching his style of footy, he's just cut teams to shreds when you allow him the opportunity. So I'm certainly hoping that won't be the case on Thursday night.
Does it make you feel old? Well, I'm assuming. Did you play with Jonah Pezzett's old man?
I did, actually. Yes, I did play with Troy. Yeah. And, you know, seeing some of these guys come through. And but, yeah, it's been so good. You know, I've got guys like Sean Timmons, Brett Morris, Marco Mealy in the camp as well. So, yeah, just talking about, you know, some of the players that have come through. But, yeah, it's a bit of a spin out seeing guys like Pezzy's young bloke come through. It's unreal.
We're speaking with Andrew Ryan, coaching the New South Wales under-19s tomorrow night against Queensland. And Bobcat, you know, you've been around junior programs, community footy, etc. for a while. So to what extent do you believe there is the depth going forward to grow the NRL as we see a new team coming in next year? Expansion's always a topic of conversation. How confident are you that we can nurture those kids, essentially, to get to that next level based on what you see?
Yeah, look, I think there's enough. You know, I have been around a little bit in those pathways programs, and I think if you get some quality in that expansion team, obviously there some young guys will get an opportunity to showcase what they can do as well. I do feel like there's some quality. I guess the challenge for all of us in the game is the last couple of years has been just so disrupted with those competitions being paused or cancelled at times, so it may take a little bit of time from to get back, and this is their first real consistent year of footy. Even this game got canned last year, you know, so we haven't had the ability to be able to get consistent with that footy. So hopefully we can, the next couple of years, we can do that. But I do feel like there is a lot of depth, and given some guys the opportunity, I think they can showcase their skills.
What did you make of New South Wales in game one, Bobcat?
Yeah, mate, it was obviously extremely disappointing. Obviously, the Queensland side, that two-punch combo they had with Harry Grant, playing as well. They were pretty sharp out of there, but looking forward to a big game in Perth this week, a couple of changes, and great to see a couple of Dubbo boys get a start, Matty Burton, Isaiah Yeo again as well, so I'm pretty stoked to watch those guys.
Yeah, I thought you might mention the Dubbo connection, certainly flying the flag. Is it St John's Dubbo there? Both of them went to school there?
Yeah, St John's, the junior club there, St John's Dubbo. Fortunate.
Well, Middo's always talking up Orange. He played for Orange, and he reckons they always smashed Dubbo. So.
Well, no, we didn't play against Dubbo.
But well, you talk about how you're better than Dubbo, and there was great rivalry between the two towns.
We didn't play against
anyone
Dubbo,
from Dobbo's soft and all that. I've heard it all before.
It's Bathurst, you know.
No, it is. You talk about
never
they wouldn't.
A bad
they would
about Dubbo.
Oh, what off never. Air you do?
Well, I'm going to get young Jack Cole. He's from Orange. He's in here with us. He's at the Panthers at the moment. I'm going to. No, I was going to say I might wrestle him, but he'll probably dominate me. So I'm happy to let Orange get the win up on this one.
Just on then, Bobcat, you would certainly have noticed the difference between, say, when you played at this level and today's player at this level. Just with their strength, you talk about the professionalism, but just strength-wise, I mean, these kids now do weights a lot more than what you guys ever did, and I'm assuming, mate, they're as strong as first graders now.
Mate, it's phenomenal. You just watch these guys. You know, their athleticism. I feel like a little midget hanging around some of them. Like, they are like, they're huge. You know, these kids are 18 years old. And that's the difference I see here. But you just look at the way they train and their athleticism, their jumping, their skill set. You know, at 18 years of age, I couldn't do anything. You know, and watching these guys, it's crazy to think. And you know, they just keep pushing the envelope and get better all the time. So, but yeah, all the training and the weights and it certainly puts them in the place. These guys are already professionals.
Bobcat, what are your coaching ambitions? How far would you want to take it? I mean, your old club's looking for a new coach. Spoken to Gus.
I love coaching. I really do. I sort of had an opportunity. I was full-time with the Knights last year. But, yeah, I live in Newcastle and got the family there. So I sort of took a step back from that towards the end of last year. But, yeah, I'd certainly love being around and I love coaching. But yeah, this is a great way to just be involved and being around it as well, but I'll certainly be supporting whoever they put in as head coach at the Bulldogs. But man, yeah, I take my hat off to them. My goodness, they work super hard, and obviously the pressure cooker they live in. I certainly take my hat off to them.
Something Loz speaks about every day. It's different, isn't it? The 24/7 nature of it.
24/7, you know. I reckon the coaching would be the easiest bit of it as a head coach. Like when you're out on the field, all the other stuff that goes with it, Bobcat, I think it'd be hard.
Definitely, mate. And that's the aspect of it. You know, the actual time they get as far as doing the X's and O's and being on the field is quite limited. You know, it's everything else that comes with it. But, you know, just watching the coaches, just how much time and effort they put in post-game preparation, you know, the analysis and stuff they do, they certainly earn their money.
Really appreciate your time this morning. Hope it's a successful night for you and the Blues under-19s tomorrow night at Leichhardt, Bobcat.
Thanks very much for having me, and hopefully we can get some support out there to cheer these boys on.
Yep, great stuff.
Good on you, mate.
Appreciate it. So that's 7:45. Anyone want to go and watch? These are the future stars. 7:45, Leichhardt Oval, tomorrow night, the under-19s, New South Wales v Queensland. Quick break, give us a call. 13:53:53. Yes, give us a call. 13:53:53. Now, by the way, earlier we had a text about what we thought about the Jordan DeGoey situation there at Collingwood, who was given a suspended $25,000 fine by Collingwood for his Bali trip and his behaviour captured on social media in a statement. He said he betrayed the trust of the club, apologised and revealed as well, and this has copped a lot of criticism, revealed that he was diagnosed with ADHD last year. So people, you know, not happy saying, oh, you can't use that as an excuse. So I mean, the whole thing's been a difficult one for Collingwood because they approved for him to be able to go to Bali on that mid-season break. They had the bye. He's gone over. He's ended up on social media with, sort of mucking around with a girl he knew, a girl who's come out since and said, what is all the fuss about? I'm absolutely fine, etc. But, obviously gives a bit of a portrayal of disrespect to women, which, you know, has just created an absolute storm of which Collingwood have found themselves in the middle in and people not happy about. Well, you know, essentially he's got away with it unless he stuffs up again and then he has to pay the 25K. But now he's off contract as well, which makes it even more difficult for all parties.
Yeah, and I think, Mido, when, you know, the parties get into the room together and you would think that Jordan would have had his legal advice and legal team in that meeting with him, and they would have spoken about the ramifications of being fined heavily or sacked by the club, what the comeback would be from Jordan to Goey. So I think they'd have to work out some arrangement that both parties are happy with to continue to move forward where they think that both parties come out of it okay. I think where it's sort of murky is the fact that the woman involved has said everything's okay. Nothing to see here. All good. Image-wise, when you look at it, I can understand why people are saying that he should have been fined. But if both parties are there saying, all okay, nothing to see here, bit of fun, I don't know where that leaves everyone. And I'm assuming that when the legal parties got together, they would have said to them, well, if that's the case and you want to sack us or we're on the verge of signing this contract and you're going to take it all away from us, then they'd be looking at a legal case themselves, Collingwood.
So they've said that talks have been put off till the end of the season for Jordan to go.
Well, it was speculated that he was about to sign a five-year, $800,000 a year deal. Yeah. So if he was sacked...
Probably why he was in Bali celebrating.
I'm assuming that they would have said, well, if you're going to sack him over this incident, we're going to take you to court and we're going to look at trying to reclaim this money that potentially was on offer to us.
No, one thing, other clubs will certainly make a play for him, particularly now. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up and if he does stay at Collingwood after this season. But we've got... rep round starting. Who's playing tonight again? Lebanon and Malta tonight at Belmore. We got Rod on the line. Morning, Rod.
Morning, how are we?
Good, thanks, Roddy.
Shout out to a lad who's facing our abominatory Nathan Thousand. He's playing from Holder tonight, which is his very last cat test match. He's a 32-year-old lad. He loves his country. They're a great bunch of lads. Go Thousand, more us boys down at the Jets. Enjoy your last test match. Rip in. And Loza.
Yes, mate.
He hasn't played well about 6 weeks, 5 weeks, but he's coming back from a broken hand. And he said, all right, stuff it. This is my last test match. I'm taking the risk.
Oh, so, good on him.
Joe Fiazza, love you, brother. Play hard, play strong. See you, guys.
Good on you, Rod. Yeah. And out there at Leichhardt Oval tonight, what time's
it? No, Belmore.
Belmore. What time's the kickoff?
You got me there.
7:30, say.
I just had it right in front of me, but... I've lost it. I was looking at some of these teams, though. Seriously, have a look at this Samoa team playing against the Cook Islands. This is on Saturday. So I'll give you their team. Charlie Staines, fullback. They've got Taylor May and David Nofaluma on the wings. Isaac Tago and Jackson Paolo in the centres. Harris Tavita and Anthony Milford, the halves. Marty Tapau, Francis Molo up front with Jazz Tavunga at hooker. Josh Schuster, Jaden Seward, Josh Aloye, the back row. That's a pretty strong side.
That's a pretty strong side, Mido. The ones that I'm looking forward to as well is seeing the sides that New Zealand and Tonga announce. And they're supposed to be named today. There's some serious talent in those two teams. You look at PNG and Fiji, the names that they have in their squads as well. So we're just starting to see the rise and rise of the Pacific Nations, which I think is great for international football.
Big night at Campbelltown, Saturday night. So 5:40 kickoff for Samoa against the Cook Islands, and then PNG, Fiji to follow 7:50. And Papua New Guinea, you've got the likes of Alex Johnston, who's at fullback, David Mead and Justin Olam in the centres, Lockie Lambs, the halfback. Fiji, you got Ravalawa, Wonga Blake, Micah Sivo, Kevin Naguama, Viliami Kikau, Tane Milne. So entertainment galore for everyone ahead of Of course, the big one, Origin. Sri Lanka beat Australia by 4 runs to clinch the series 3-1 with 1 to play. Dave Warner stumped for 99. We needed 19 from the final over. Matt Kuhneman, the left arm tweaker, coming in down the order. He hit 3 boundaries. We needed 5 off 1, and he was out court. But at one stage, the Aussies needed, 70 from 86 balls with 6 wickets in hand. So it looks like they were headed towards victory, but the Sri Lankan spinners put the chokehold on us. And we've fallen short there last night. So a loss in the one day is after winning the T20s as we head to the Test Series next week.
Mm. You like us, Loz, in the Test matches?
Depends how turning the pitches are.
They're going to turn square, I reckon. How many spinners will we pick?
Going on what you say, I think 2.
No more than 2.
Surely not.
Just 2.
Just 2.
We should be good enough for 2 spinners.
Agree.
If we've got the goat. And 2. Who's the other one? Swepson.
Swepson. 2 tests? 3 tests?
2.
2 tests.
Mm. Yeah, now we should be beating
easily
Sri Lanka.
We should be.
In a test match, we should be beating Sri Lanka.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be disappointed if we don't. Well, that's a horrible tour if we come away losing the one dayers and coming away losing the test matches.
No, if we lose the test matches, there's chaos. The fans will go crazy. It'll be the whole coach combo.
Well, the
bring
coach
Justin
combo.
Langer back, and it'll be if I'm Pat Cummins, I'm having a conversation with the test players already, making it very clear that this test series is like an Ashes series. Yep. We need to win, otherwise it is going to be
Who's
chaos.
Who's your 2 fast bowlers? Because you're a Stark man, aren't you?
Well, it's got to be Cummo 1. I'm considering 3 quicks and batting my keeper at 6, Paddy Cummins at 7. Or I'm probably not picking Hazelwood. I'm probably going Cummins and Stark and using Green. But I don't, again, that's the problem, because we're not playing spin well enough. Well, Paddy Cummins just got 35 with the bat, second highest score. That's what I'm saying. He can bat. He plays spin pretty well. But is he willing to take that risk as captain? Yeah. Probably not. So they're probably going to have to drop Stark or Hazelwood and play Green in the first test match, because they'll want extra batting. That'll be their safety blanket.
Yeah.
But
Do you play a Maxwell?
Nah.
Drop
no need. You don't need to. Travis Head can bowl off spin. No. Marnus Labuschagne can bowl leg spin. Dave Warner can bowl some part-timers. Steve Smith can bowl some part-timers. 2 quicks, an all-rounder, and 2 spinners, plus those part-timers. That's a stack of bowling. Heap of bowling. Too much.
But is Maxwell a good player of spin?
Maxwell's not a bad player of spin, yeah. Oh. He takes risks, though. He plays the reverse sweep and
all
that stuff.
No,
all
I'm thinking, is he a better player of spin than...
Green?
Green or...
probably.
Who's the other bloke?
Travis Head. Travis Head just made 70-odd in the second one day. I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll go with their legit batsmen. You've probably got to back your batters. The conversation for Maxwell is, do you pick... him instead of Green as that number 6.
Yeah.
But if you're only going to go 2 quicks, you need Green.
Yeah.
Because, and again, you've got Travis Head does exactly what Glenn Maxwell does with the ball.
Yeah.
They're as good as each other with the ball. So Travis Head can bowl those overs. Plus, you've got Labuschagne who bowls some leggies. I think they'll do that as well. I think they'll go 2 quicks, 2 spinners, and play Green as the all-rounder. Just got to work out Hazelwood or Stark.
Or Stark, yeah. And you like Stark because he's something different.
Oh, I just like it's left arm. The other thing he does, he creates rough as well for Nathan Lyon.
Yep.
So where he lands, where his feet land on the pitch, Nathan Lyon will bowl straight into that. Aussies might be thinking, we don't want that because that's where Sri Lanka will bowl as well.
Mm.
But again, my vision is always we're trying to win. So how are we taking 20 wickets?
Give us a call, 1353 53 on the text line. Hey, Loz, I'm here at my local gym. Big Brad Clyde trains here every morning. He's still as fit and strong as ever. Put him in a Blues jersey and he'd show the boys how a mobile forward plays. No name to that one.
Couldn't disagree there. He's an animal, Bradley Clyde. Just still fit, big, strong, buggery. Every time you see him, he looks as though... he could still play.
Yeah, amazing.
Like, always kept himself in great nick. Never knocked himself around off the paddock. Always trained hard.
Talakai is going to have a huge game, and also he could do some serious damage for the Sharks in the finals. The sleeping giant has been quiet now for the last 8 games, really, from Pitchfork sending that one through. You're in Freddie's shoes. How are you using Talakai on Sunday night, Loz?
I think I'm keeping him up my sleeve for the second half. I don't think I'm getting him into the game in the opening 40 minutes. But again, it comes down to how the game unfolds. That's the thing about it. You have a plan for these players, but sometimes you just got to adapt on the run. So I'm thinking, you know, you're going to get Crichton into the game, you Paulo into the game, possibly Cookie into the game, all before halftime. But they might look at it and say, well, you know what, Talakai, let's open the game up with Cookie and Talakai. They might look at it at 28 minutes and go, righto, just before halftime, they're starting to tire or they put their bench on or whatever the case may be. Let's inject those two now. Let's give us that extra energy that we were looking for in Sydney. Because you've got to remember, in Sydney we went from being sort of, I thought, the best team in the opening 20 to Queensland going and overtaking us.
Mm.
They accelerated through that period leading into halftime, whereas we fell away. So if we start well, New South Wales will be thinking, you know what, we need to combat their bench by putting on our players that are going to make impact, and let's take it to another level. So it'll all depend on how it unfolds. They'll have a plan of how they're going to use it, but again, it comes back to being adaptable on the run, how you use these players. From an outsider sitting here now, I'm thinking Talakai second half when the game started to open up a bit more. But if it opens up and it's fast as game one and both teams fatigued after 25 and we saw the impact that their bench had, I wouldn't be at all surprised if they go, let's roll the dice here and have a crack.
Talakai averaging 168 metres a game this year, hardly quiet, says Blake from the Shire.
But the other thing with Talakai, if you do put him on, you can give him sort of 3 stints if you need to. Because my concern would be, in an Origin game, he's going to get gassed. So if you give him a 12 or 13 minute period before halftime, then he gets a rest. Then he comes back out and starts the second half. You can play him for 12 or 15 minutes and then take him off, and then you can keep him up your sleeve if you need him to finish the game for the last 10 minutes. Use him in those short, sharp bursts. Because he's been playing centre, if you put him in the middle or put him on an edge, he's going to have to do a lot more work, and he possibly will fatigue. Well, he will fatigue a lot quicker. So you've got to have that in the back of your mind as well.
Got Adrian on the line. G'day, mate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. What do you got for us this morning?
Yeah, I was just going back to the Origin and the ruck and everything. And, I think it's totally fine taking that long in the ruck. I think the refs should do that a bit more, have a bit more time there. But you've got to then make sure that your markers and your 10, that's where you crack the whip. Because that you can measure. If you're in front of me, you're gone. There's nothing worse than watching a tackler, you know, he's still thinking he's finishing the tackle, and next minute he gets a penalty because the guy's trying to get up and play the ball.
Mm.
It's just so hit and miss in the ruck, whereas you can tell if it's blatant, boys can have time, and then if you've got everyone back to 10, the game's going to be just as quick and open whether you got that half a second to play the ball or not.
Yeah, you make a fair point. You make a fair point. You know, they're going to be back. You can't jump early. You got to crack down on that. And markers are the other ones, because the markers aren't square. The markers are split before the guy plays the ball. You see it happening all the time in the NRL, and it's a frustration of mine that I have. But you can take that extra half a second, but if you do clamp down on those type of things and penalise that, well, you possibly still could get a faster game. But I enjoyed the way it was refereed. You know, there'd be clips that Queensland would have as well of New South Wales trying to slow down Queensland's play the balls. It happens. And sometimes when you're under fatigue, you're looking for a rest. So you're pushing the boundaries because you're trying to slow it down to give your team a bit of extra time to get set. And it ebbs and flows a little bit. And sometimes, you know, when you're getting off your line hard and you're getting numbers in the tackle and you work your peel really well, you know, take your time in getting off slowly each member, you can con the referee as such. But I hope it's a fast game. I don't want it to be a slow game. You know, I don't want both sides to be just lying in the ruck and it leaves the referee in a situation where he's going to have to blow a lot of penalties. I don't want to see that type of game. But the pressure will be on because you don't want to see both teams just lying in the ruck all day because we won't get a great spectacle.
Thanks, Adrian. Morning, Ray.
Hey, boys. I just heard you talking about Bradley Clyde. I'm a great fan. I think he was the closest bloke to play lock to the way Johnny Raper did. I think Johnny Raper was number one, but Bradley Clyde was a sensation. And I think playing the game today, he'd be made for it. I wish he was playing tonight, on Sunday night, I should say.
Yeah, I tell you what, Ray, I never saw Johnny Raper play, but Bradley Clyde, his ability to carry the ball like a front rower, but also his ability to play out wide and run as a three-quarter was something I'd never seen before. Possibly Bobby McCarthy was the first wide-running sort of back rower.
You're right.
And then Clyde, he sort of went to a different sort of part of the game because he then started to be a front rower, middle, edge back rower, centre, three-quarter. He just did it all.
Had good speed, but he was as strong as a bull, wasn't he?
Oh, Ray, best trainer I've ever seen, Bradley Clyde. He was so fit, and he got stronger as the game went on.
Well, Raper was like that. He was an unbelievable trainer.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, when you see wonderful players. And again, I never saw Johnny play, but you hear all the stories about how good he was. But I can only compare him to what I saw. And what I played with, and I'm like you, Ray, I thought he was a phenomenal player.
He'd be a sensation in the game today, the way the game today is played with the speed, the strength. I think he'd be wonderful.
Yeah, and he was that type of player. When it started to open up, that's when Brad came into his own, but he could also do the tough stuff early. You know, and I continually say it, he would always be back there, get himself behind the ball quicker than any other forward I've seen.
To help out.
And even in today's game, he would still handle it because he got back on play too. He was always back there.
You just mentioned Bobby McCarthy, Laurie. I think he'd be a sensation too in today's game. Strong and fast.
What a player Bobby Mack was. And you see some of the video highlights on him. Fast, big, powerful. He's another bloke, Bobby, you know. He's a legend of the game. And you overlook the deeds that he did on a football field for Australia and New South Wales and for South. A magnificent player, great fella. And someone that when you're talking about the best of the best, he's always in that conversation.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it. Just I want to mention this text. Morning, gents. We have the salute to Jack. Jack Newton Luncheon on the 15th of July at the Lemon Grove Hotel, Wallsend, in honour of what Jack did for the sporting world and also to raise money for the Jack Newton Junior Golf Foundation. $50 a head. It includes a two-course lunch, complimentary schooner of Tui's, the guest speakers, Tony Butterfield, John Curtis, and Olympic dual gold medalist Michael Diamond. Auction and raffles throughout the day. And if you can give this a plug, Wayne Stewart, the publican, to call Wayne. I think Wayne wants his number in case anyone wants to get involved, or you can just call the Lemon Grove Hotel Wallsend. I won't read Wayne's number out unless he's
just in case
writes back that he's happy with it. But I'm sure if anyone wants to go to that, that would be a fantastic afternoon. We lost Jack, of course, not too long ago, and that foundation has done so much for junior golfers, so $50 a head. Great afternoon. The Lemon Grove Hotel Wallsend there in the Hunter, and that is on the 15th of July. Dave Stanley, good morning.
Morning, Minnow. Morning, boys. Wonderful to be with you on a Wednesday morning, and we've got some really good racing coming our way from Canterbury today. I think we can back a winner. There's been plenty of scratchings in and around the first couple of races, but always good races, the sort of young two-year-old races to kickstart proceedings, and who knows, a few of them could be horses we talk about during the Spring Carnival, which won't be too far away, Middo.
Just want to keep an eye on acceptances for Saturday today as well to see if Pretty Wild for Mr. M. Clark.
Yeah,
is,
well, surely
accepting.
Surely, pup, you'll get the video or the report to come through in the next couple of days. You'll have to get someone in your team to keep an eye out for it, mate, because that'll be crucial. You'll have Laurie asking you and pestering you on Thursday. I don't know when Chris would send out his thing. Maybe Thursday, maybe Friday morning, maybe even Saturday morning. But there'll be a report. There'll be a report, and put it this way, boys, if Pup starts saying, oh, no, don't think she'll go well today, don't think she'll go well, that means get
now,
on.
Now, Dave, I want an honest answer.
Yes.
All right, I've been up front with Pup about his horse. All right, I'm death riding it.
Why would you say you're death riding it?
Because I don't want him to win more money.
You don't want him to win more money.
Well, when it becomes a champion, that's when I want to hang out with him. When I go to the races. So when it raced a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Were you cheering? Were you supportive? Or in the back of your mind, were you thinking, geez, I hope he doesn't win? Honestly.
To be honest with you, I didn't
know. Oh, you thought about it. I know what the answer is.
Well, I was in Adelaide. That's when I was in Adelaide.
Oh, right. So you're throwing off
away.
Here now, eh?
I'm throwing off. Well, to be honest, I didn't hear. The only thing I would have been annoyed with is when Pup was putting the cold water on it. I heard reports back, Pup, you were putting cold water on it.
I was being honest.
I just knew. How dare I be honest? Horse.
To be fair, in defence of Pup, Chris Wallace said after the race. He really didn't know how it would go either.
Correct.
Don't say that about a champion trainer. They don't. What do you mean they don't know how these horses are going to go? Well, come on.
It's the first time at the races.
Correct.
Yeah.
He told us it was very clear on that.
You've been galloping
well,
but until you get in there on race day, you don't know.
Yeah. What about exactly how well it won too?
Oh. It walked. And then James McDonald gets off and he's saying, gee, this has got ability. And okay, well, there you go.
I can just see it happening. He's going to have a great horse. Well, and then I'll change the tune and then I'll be on the bandwagon.
Yeah. This is your first horse, Saturday.
This is my first horse, yes.
Table with your chairman.
He'll be there, don't worry. I guarantee you, boys, he might not be there Saturday, but wait till he gets to one of these big races, front and centre.
I'll be on the coattail, don't worry about that.
And I like the colours too, Michael, black and white. Because
see,
I think every time I see you, you're in a black t-shirt with white riding.
Exactly right.
I could see in the Johnny Cash suit just out there.
Just keep it clean. Just keep it clean, black or white. Sounds like my life. No grey.
I'll tell you what, Loz will be filthy if he doesn't get a run at the big races.
I've got a choice. He's coming already.
It's
not a question.
I'll be his new manager.
Yeah.
I'll look after that side of his business.
I used to see who rides on Saturday, boys, because obviously James is away in Europe. We've got Tommy Berry on the program. I know he does a bit of riding for Mr. Waller. I don't know if he will be on. We'll chat with Tommy about his chances today and on the weekend. Oh, actually, no, he won't be riding it because he'll be up in Queensland. So you'll there you go. We'll have to wait and see. Matt Jones will join us. Gary Portelli has a nice chance today. Nash Rawillup, Mark Newnham, and Sterling Alexu we're going to chat to. So trying to chat with some key players for today's meeting there at Canterbury. We are racing on a heavy nine, and we'll have markets out and fields out for the Civic Stakes Day, which is on Saturday here in Sydney, and then the Big Tats Day up there in Queensland as well, where we'll see a number of New South Wales horses and New South Wales jockeys and trainers competing, boys.
Dave, you have a great day.
I will. I'm actually really looking forward to this Wednesday. You boys enjoy the beautiful weather in Sydney Town. We'll catch the boys 5:30 and, of course, Jamie tomorrow on the Big Sports Breakfast. All of their chats from this morning are up as we speak on the podcast.